Well, good morning, church.
Good morning, buddy.
Last time I was here, I smelled pork. I don't smell pork. Terry said there would be pork. No, I'm not. Just kidding. It's fun to laugh, isn't it? Just like Sarah did in the first lesson. Well, here we are. The last two Sundays were kind of important, what we call feast days. 2 weeks ago was Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit to be with us forever, to settle in our hearts. And last Sunday was Trinity Sunday, when we celebrated that central doctrine of our faith, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in three persons, yet unified in one. But beginning today, we're entering the season called After Pentecost, or some people just shorten it to just Pentecost. Our Roman Catholic sisters and brothers call it Ordinary Time. That is not part of the Christmas celebration or part of the Easter celebration, but rather ordinary time, day-to-day lifetime. This year, this long season after Pentecost stretches for 24 Sundays and 24 weeks, clear till December 1, first Sunday of Advent. It's nearly half of the year. This is a long season, and it's a season for nourishing ourselves as Christians in what it means to be a disciple and an apostle of Jesus Christ. Or we might ask try to get at the theme this way by asking the question, how do we in our ordinary lives walk along with Jesus, both as disciples and as apostles? Most of us probably know that disciple means being a follower or a student. So a disciple in the New Testament is a follower or student of someone, in this case, Jesus Christ for us. And we're all disciples because there's always, always something to learn about Jesus that we didn't already know. But our lesson this morning is more than that, because it's not enough just to know about Jesus. We are also to be apostles. And apostles are those who are, yes, they're disciples, but they're also sent out by Jesus to continue the work that he began. So we're called to be not only disciples, but apostles. We're called to do Jesus as well as know about Jesus. On some of the Sundays between now and December, we might remember the lessons from three years ago when we heard them the last time. And if so, they will be a reminder to us of our commitment already as followers of Jesus. On other Sundays, we may see or learn something new we hadn't noticed before. And that's all good, either way. So today we begin this long church season after Pentecost with a lesson from Matthew's Gospel, which serves as a transition in the ministry of Jesus. A transition from being a close follower of Jesus, a disciple, to being an apostle of Jesus, sent out to do Jesus' work. In the previous four chapters in Matthew, what we've heard of is about seeing Jesus as the promised Messiah. Why? Because of the words he spoke, both in preaching and teaching, and the deeds that he did. The disciples observed Jesus and watched him do what he was doing and tried to understand who he was. Or, as our gospel lesson begins today in the first verse, Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness. This should be seen as a summary statement of everything Jesus had been about up to that point in his ministry. How was Jesus able to do all that? Proclaim the good news, teach in local synagogues, the equivalent to our local church, and cure every disease and every sickness. How was he able to do that? Well, continuing in the gospel, we're told that when he saw the crowds, Jesus had compassion for them. Compassion. Compassion, the Greek word which we translate into English as compassion, comes from a noun that means entrails, bowels, guts. What the Greek meaning is getting at is that Jesus' feelings and actions toward the crowds who are always coming after him come from the deepest place of his emotions. It's how he connects with people, compassion. Jesus did not pity the crowds. He was not condescending to them because he had a message they didn't know. He didn't treat them with revulsion, and he certainly did not despair because of them. Continuing along in the gospel again, he had compassion on them because we're told they were harassed and helpless. And he uses a metaphor like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus saw the crowds that were continually following him and pressing in on him for what they really were. And what they really were wanderers without a leader, sheep without a shepherd, lost. It's been said of the Christian church, regardless of denomination or lack of denominational affiliation, such as community churches, that in all churches, the first and central responsibility to the local gathering, the body of Christ, is to provide spiritual leadership or direction to its members, point them in a way in their lives. That's what the crowds lacked, and that's what Jesus saw. Spiritual leadership that was needed to connect them with a renewed and a renewing life with God. They were lost. Jesus says to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Ask God to send more laborers and pray to God for that." Jesus sees the crowds as the harvest. Jesus sees them not as a problem, but what? An opportunity. An opportunity. I think the current Pope Francis at the beginning of his papacy essentially saw the same opportunity as Jesus saw when Francis said in so many words, "The time of judgment is over. The time now is for mercy, compassion." Now, I don't discount the difficulty some of us have, including a part of myself, with seeing in our violent and divided country and world the need for compassion or mercy for and to those in our time who are oppressed, helpless, wandering, leaderless in their lives. Sometimes the world seems overwhelming. It seems so hard to be able to do anything. Yet, this calling that we're hearing this morning by Jesus, as both disciples and apostles, that's what we're presented with. Jesus summoned 12 of the original disciples, perhaps we should label them his inner circle, and gave them the authority that he already had in his ministry. He gave them the authority over unclean spirits to cast them out. Exorcism. And to cure every disease and every sickness, health. He shared his power with them, and he shares his power with us in the same way. After having shared with them his power, he then names them apostles. They have the power to go out and do Jesus. And they are named in our gospel lesson. The apostles are now doers of Jesus. The remainder of our gospel lesson is Jesus' mission charge to them. Jesus sends those 12 apostles first to the people they know best. Who's that? Well, it's the Jews like themselves. calling the Jews, Israel, the lost sheep. Jesus charges them to proclaim the gospel, the good news, that the kingdom of heaven has now arrived. They are to cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers and cast out demons. And Jesus reminds them that they were graced by God to be a part of his ministry. Now they are to go out and serve others as he has done, to be God's doers as he was. These disciples, now apostles, have been transformed. this gospel lesson clearly sets out the work of the church, all of us. If the church is to be faithful to Jesus, we must also cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, and cast out demons. But these must-dos, cure the sick, raise the dead, and so forth, are not limited to taking them just literally. Rather, these must-dos should be seen as human needs in the time of Jesus. Some or all may be present in our time, but what they represent for us is to determine what our focus should be in our church setting and in our time as apostles. We too are called to continue and expand the church's ministries of healing in this community. For example, and it's only an example, what are the known health needs in this community and adjacent that are not being met and are crying out to the community to be met? While Jesus raised the physically dead, we cannot do that. But Jesus' words of healing through us, the church, can bring healing and new life to other kinds of death, despair, apathy, grief, substance abuse, absence of meaning in life, and you can name a lot more. Example, is mental illness in our time and place the equivalent of leprosy in biblical times? Who are those we consider in our time to be untouchable? Do the demons of our time and place, violence, for example, of so many different kinds, hatred, bigotry, and what often leads to them, the lack of understanding of those that are different from us, that we as a result then consider to be strangers and maybe even threats. Human need is not unique to our time. We all know that. The need to heal the world has been present throughout history and therefore a challenge to the church in every age. This challenge is a reminder to us in this church season called After Pentecost. That is to say, a challenge after the coming of the Holy Spirit 2 weeks ago, to inspire us, to drive us, to be our advocate, and to never leave us. Therefore, we cannot be the church and ignore the call of Jesus to do something about the things that need to be done. You know this community and its needs, and you also know this parish and its people. You. The trick, of course, is to mesh those two together in a way that works. The needs of the world and the Holy Spirit driving you as a congregation to help meet at least some of them. Our gospel lesson on this first Sunday in the new church season called After Pentecost is a reminder to us. The gospel itself in this sermon is not given to somehow make us feel guilty we're not doing enough, or make us uneasy, or maybe even make us angry. Rather, the gospel is a reminder of who Jesus is and who we are as both his disciples and now apostles. The call of Jesus to mission and ministry is old, and yet it's ever the same. The forms of that mission and ministry are ever new. And I'll close with the words of the colic we heard at the beginning of the service. Keep, O Lord, your household, the church, in your steadfast faith and love, that through your grace we may proclaim your truth with boldness and minister your justice with compassion. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.